Welcome. You're listening to Latin Waves with your hosts, Sylvia and Stuart Richardson. Latin Waves is more than just hot rhythms. This is a show about community, about creating a culture that is inclusive and based on fairness. Because everyone deserves dignity, respect, and has something to contribute. A new world is possible, and it all starts with us.
That's why you've got artists and creators really concerned that people who are simply, you know, trying to write articles perhaps about conflict or about difficult situations such as you have in the Middle East could be getting caught up in these draconian provisions in Bill C-51 and actually being criminalized.
That's the voice of David Christopher from Open Media. On this week's show, we speak to David about the new Liberal government and how they should be dealing with the contentious Bill C-51 and the TPP trade agreement. Stay tuned. Online, I have David Christopher. David Christopher is a communications coordinator for Open Media. Welcome to the show, David.
Thank you very much for having me, Stuart.
Since the last time we spoke, Canadians have elected a new federal majority government and Justin Trudeau, and we talked before the election about Bill C-51. Can you speak to Bill C-51 and what needs to be amended in this bill?
Oh, really? I think Bill C-51 is pretty much beyond repair. When you talk to many of the experts who've really looked at this in detail, there's really a growing consensus that it's the best approach is to fully repeal Bill C-51 and then look at how we can start to tackle some of the really glaring problems that we have when it comes to privacy in this country. One thing's for sure, a piecemeal approach, piecemeal reforms or half measures simply won't be enough to fix the major problems with this legislation.
Now, since we spoke also, there's been an escalation of global terrorism. We've seen the tragedy in France. There was also a terrible terrorist attack that hasn't got much attention in Nairobi, Kenya. It goes on and on. What would you say to people who think that maybe Bill C-51 will somehow make us safer against these kinds of attacks?
Oh, you know, it really is shocking to see, and you're quite right to say, you know, we see these kind of attacks now on a fairly regular basis. It's a pity, perhaps, that it needs to be a major Western city that got attacked to really spark the kind of focus that we've seen over the past week. You know, one thing's really, really for clear. Reckless legislation like Bill C-51 doesn't do anything to make people safer. In fact, you've got many of the analysts who've been asking, you know, how can an attack like this happen with relation to last Friday's events in Paris, actually confirming that it looks like the security agencies there, where they have a really invasive spying and surveillance system, they were simply drowning in data. They had collected so much data on, you know, innocent people, on you know, more or less everybody, that they're simply unable to find the needle in the haystack. You know, when you've got a haystack that pretty much encompasses the whole population, it becomes very, very difficult indeed for those security experts to actually identify the real threats. So we're worried that we'll end up with a similar situation here in Canada where, you know, you don't need to be doing anything wrong to be placed under this kind of invasive surveillance. Bill C-51 is certainly a massive step in the wrong direction. It makes all of us less secure, not least because, you know, in its most fundamental sense, privacy is about security. It's about feeling secure in who you are and that you have a safe space in which to be yourself. And C-51 just undermines our privacy in so many ways.
Can you give me a couple of examples of, say, how Bill C-51 may affect your online activities?
Sure. I mean, one of the key points that was raised, in fact, by Margaret Atwood, who was joined by over 300 other really well-known Canadian artists. They were really concerned about the impact this legislation will have on freedom of expression in this country. Bill C-51 contains really draconian rules about what it calls terrorist propaganda, but it doesn't really define that. That's why you've got artists and creators really concerned that people who are simply, you know, trying to write articles perhaps about conflict or about difficult situations such as you have in the Middle East could be getting caught up in these draconian provisions in Bill C-51 and actually being criminalized simply for expressing themselves on the internet. So that's certainly one key concern. And another very problematic issue is the way in which Bill C-51 dramatically expands the ways in which the government can collect information on Canadians. It would mean it actually empowers 17 different government agencies to systematically collect all kinds of information about Canadians that's being held across the whole wide range of government. So, you know, you might need to get your health card updated, for example. You need to provide all kinds of personal information to do that. But it turns out under Bill C-51 that that information could actually end up in the hands of CSIS, in the hands of the spy agencies, potentially even handed over to foreign governments like the US NSA. So it's very concerning. Those are just two examples, but you know, there's just so much wrong with this bill, Stuart. Like I say, it's really, I think it's time for the Liberals to really start listening to Canadians and move toward something that looks a lot more like a full repeal of this bill rather than simply making amendments or tinkering around the edges.
No, I'm in agreement with you, David, that I would rather see this bill repealed. The reality is we have a majority Liberal government now who hasn't come forward and say they will repeal it. They just want to make amendments. So if they were to go ahead with the amendment agenda, how should the process unfold?
Really what we're saying is, you know, because we have seen some of the amendments that the Liberals are clearly considering have already been leaked to the media. You know, the amendments that we've seen leaked are positive things in and of themselves. You know, they do mark progress in a small way. And, you know, when you take a step back, you got to realize this kind of progress would never have happened without so many Canadians, over 300,000 people, standing up, getting involved, speaking out, whether that's signing petitions online, writing letters to newspapers, taking part in street protests. All that public pressure has gotten us to the point where we at least have some positive amendments being brought forward. But it's really clear that, you know, a set of half measures, a half-baked attempt to try and fix this will ultimately be a real missed opportunity. We've really got one chance to get this right at the start of the new government's term. And what I think really the Liberals should be doing is listening to the you know, over two dozen major organizations, leading privacy and security experts, who this morning published an open letter to Justin Trudeau calling on him as a first step to launch a public consultation process with Canadians that would let every single Canadian take part and have a say in what they think the government should do. And you know, when Justin Trudeau was sworn in as Prime Minister, he did say that openness, transparency, accountability, these were to be the hallmarks of his new government. So in a sense, we're kind of calling Justin Trudeau on that. If he really means that, then, you know, certainly he should be embarking on this public consultation, because it's just common sense. You can't fix a problem this big and this complex without actually listening to what Canadians have to say and without listening to what the top security experts in the country, who were pretty much sidelined and ignored by the previous Conservative government, we need to get their perspective around the table about how to fix this legislation.
You're quite right. I've had some colleagues call C-51 Canada's Patriot Act, and I'd love to see it go by the wayside. Now, our Prime Minister is also in the Philippines at the G20 talking about trade agreements, specifically the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Now, Open Media has huge reservations about the TPP. Can you talk a little bit about your opposition to this agreement?
Oh, really? You know, we've been campaigning on the Trans-Pacific Partnership for really a number of years now. We've clearly seen it as one of the greatest threats to internet freedom that has, more or less ever existed. It's got really draconian proposals in there that would really affect the way just that everyday people use the internet in their day-to-day lives. The kind of things we can share online, the criminalization of small-scale copyright infringement. It's really going to have a hugely negative impact on how Canadians use the internet. It's also going to have a really negative impact on our digital economy. We've got people like, Jim Balsillie, the former CEO of BlackBerry, really sounding the alarm on this, saying this is going to cost the Canadian economy could be hundreds of millions of dollars. You look at one of the key changes that the TPP would bring about is it would extend Canada's current copyright term, which is already extremely long, life of the creator plus 50 years. It's going to add another 20 years on top of that, with basically forcing Canada and a bunch of other countries into line with what the situation is in the United States. That move alone, that 20-year extension alone, is estimated to cost the Canadian economy over $500 million each and every year going forward. So it's going to have a really negative impact. On this one, it's really disappointing because all Justin Trudeau has said is he's going to have a debate in Parliament. But really, this is a majority government. Everybody knows which way a debate like that would end, if they're going to use their majority to just force it through. I think Canadians deserve much better than that. Really redo it. And again, similarly to C-51, Justin Trudeau, I hope he reaches out to all Canadians and involves people in a real, I think, public conversation about the TPP, about these negative aspects, because ultimately, this was something that the previous government signed Canada up to, and they did so when there was just 2 weeks before an election. It was a really shameful move. There should be no obligation on the new government to abide by what Stephen Harper did before he was chucked out of office. Really, it's time to, I think, turn the page on the previous government's approach and again, start to reach out to Canadians and listen to what people are saying.
Has the Liberal government released the full documentation yet of the TPP? Do we know the extent of it and what's actually in the agreement yet?
We do now, yes. And I mean, you're quite right. One of the most ridiculous aspects of all this was that the deal got agreed, I think it was just 10 days before the election, but we couldn't actually see what the text was. They kept that a secret. When Canadians went to the ballot box, they didn't actually know. Nobody knew what exactly was in the TPP. A couple of weeks ago, the text was finally published, initially by the New Zealand government. It's now, I believe, up on the Canadian government's website as well. And bottom line, it's actually worse than we thought in terms of the impact that it's going to have on internet users. Many, many organizations, and not just here in Canada, but in the US, in New Zealand, Australia, other countries around the TPP region, if you like, are very worried about the impact this is going to have, both in terms of how we use the internet and in terms of the impact, the real hit on our digital economy. So very, very worrying situation, I think, that we find ourselves in.
What a lot of people don't realize is these agreements have text in them regarding trade irritants, and new laws or environmental policies can be struck down by corporations who are worried about lost profits, as in NAFTA's Chapter 11. Can you talk about how, like, these supranational bodies can affect actual Canadian laws from being implemented?
I think you certainly put your finger on something that's causing a lot of concern out there in the community, and it's really a reflection of how the TPP was negotiated. This was not a negotiation that in any way involved the public or public interest groups or civil society groups or really any kind of representation of the public interest. The only people who've been around this negotiating table for the last 3 years have been the representatives of these giant conglomerates, whether it's media conglomerates or like the oil industry or, you know, take your pick. And that's why the talks are taking place in such complete secrecy, is because they knew all along that if the public found out what was in this deal and the kind of extreme proposals, you know, one of which you've just identified, if the public knew what was actually in there, they'd be speaking out in great numbers about it. As we're starting to see now, you know, now that the text has been released, people are absolutely appalled and realize that, you know, the stakes here are really high. That's why it's just not good enough for Justin Trudeau to say he's simply going to hold a parliamentary debate and presumably ram it through. He really needs to, I think, consult with Canadians, consult with some of the people in the, you know, leading people in the business sector, in the digital economy sector, who are speaking out and saying, this is actually going to damage the Canadian economy as well as many other aspects of our society. So certainly, I think time for Trudeau to change course on this.
Definitely. I know in Vancouver, you know, we have a thriving tech sector. We have a thriving creative class sector in the film industry and across the country. And I really worry if these documents are going to kind of kill those small producers. So what do we do, David, if they do just go ahead with that so-called debate in Parliament, which we know it will be passed? What do we do if they just push it through? Where do we go from here?
To be honest, Stuart, our focus as an organization right now is very much on amplifying people's voices, rallying people to speak out against this, appealing to Justin Trudeau to actually listen to the, really, it's over hundreds of thousands of people speaking out. But you're talking millions of people concerned about this, speaking out about this across the world, hundreds of thousands here in Canada. It's really time for Justin Trudeau to listen, because this really boils down to fundamental principles of democracy. You simply can't, or you shouldn't, be pushing forward or trying to push through a deal that was negotiated completely behind the backs of Canadians, that Canadians couldn't even see for themselves when they went to vote, and that, you know, now that the deal is actually out there, it's sparking enormous concern from across, you know, a whole range of Canadian society. You know, right now I think our focus is very much on trying to get this deal stopped. One thing that's really quite striking is there's a lot of doubt about whether the United States itself will even sign up to this deal. There's a lot of opposition in Congress down there, and that of course begs the question, why is Canada being expected to sort of hand over all these concessions, all these really damaging things, concede all this, when we don't even know if our largest trading partner is the U.S. is going to be on board? I think the wise thing to do is to hold back, dial back the urgency. There's certainly no need to rush this through Parliament, and for I think the new government should really, if they mean what they say about turning over a new leaf when it comes to accountability, they really should be listening to Canadians on a much broader scale than we've so far seen any hints of.
You know, the people I speak to say that Stephen Harper was just desperate to show that his government accomplished something, that they got a really raw deal in the TPP and they kind of came out on the bottom. And a lot of people also, David, believe that because we don't have a deal like the TPP, we're not an open country or something, which is ridiculous. We have a lot of laws in the books that govern our trade. We're doing very well on trade. And I don't see why we need to put in jeopardy our auto parts, our digital economy, our dairy economy. Is there any parts of this agreement that would see benefits for Canadians? I can't see any.
Oh, it's certainly really difficult to sort of identify any part here that's beneficial. And even where there are maybe one or two things, we don't need a massive 6,000-page agreement that's going to lock Canada in for generations in order to achieve those things. To take one example, when you're talking about trade, Canada already has strong bilateral trade agreements with, I think it's almost all the countries within the TPP. There might be one or two of the smaller ones where we don't, but you know, we've got very strong trading relationships with most of the countries in there already. And really, the TPP, it's being portrayed as a trade deal because, you know, they know that the idea of trade is popular and Canada's a small, or it's a large country with a small population, and you know, we do rely on trade. TPP isn't really a trade deal. It's got so much extra stuff rammed in there. It's much more like a wish list for the giant conglomerates. And as I say, you know, that's not surprising because they're the only people who are around the negotiating table. So I think we need to start from scratch on this one. And if we're going to have some kind of Trans-Pacific partnership, it should be driven by the citizens, driven by the people of those 12 TPP countries, not just driven by these giant conglomerates who, frankly, don't give a hoot what people and what voters actually think. And as we've seen here in Canada, frankly, treated the voters with contempt.
We're coming to the end of our interview. Any final thoughts that Canadians should be thinking about as this agreement is in discussion? Any final thoughts on the future of C-51 for our listeners?
Sure. You know, I think overall we're into a really interesting new context here since the election. I think there's, you know, on the one hand, many of the same threats that existed under the Conservatives, such as the TPP, such as Bill C-51, such as, you know, the ridiculous prices people pay for internet and cell phone service, those threats still exist. But we do seem to have a government now that at least is saying that it wants to listen to Canadians. At least it's saying that it wants to build a more participatory style of democracy. So certainly, you know, at Open Media, and I think other organizations are probably doing this as well, we really want to call them on that. We want to say, you know, this sounds great. But you know, if you're serious about this, then you've really got to start putting Canadians at the center of your policymaking processes. So, you know, don't just go away with a couple of civil servants and bureaucrats and you know, come up with and try and ram the TPP through Parliament. Or don't just go away with a couple of civil servants and then craft these C-51 reforms by yourselves without listening to people. Our message is just, you know, come and talk with us. You know, C-51 is a really complex issue. Let's get everyone in the room. Let's get, you know, ourselves. Let's get the experts who are really following this. Let's get Justin Trudeau, the new Minister for Justice, new Minister for Public Safety, and even everyday Canadians. Let's get us all into a room together and see how we can fix this problem. And, you know, I think it's a real litmus test of the Liberals. If they mean what they say, then hopefully they'll live up to their words. If not, you know, well, time will tell. But we've got these two real big issues now between C-51 and the TPP. So I think we'll learn a lot over the next couple of months about which way this government is going to go.
Absolutely, and I believe there's democracy on voting day, but the biggest democracy happens between voting day, and I don't think it was strategic voting because I looked at the numbers and almost 10% more people voted than last time, which delivered the Liberals. So if you let that new group of voters down, they won't show up again for you. And absolutely, I thank you for your time, David. Tell our listeners how they can engage with Open Media.
Sure. You can check out our website at openmedia.ca. We've all the latest on our campaigns there. And I'd also encourage everyone to come and follow us on Facebook. We've got a pretty incredible Facebook community of over 100,000 people, really smart, really active, great conversation there each and every day. So, you know, just do a Facebook search for Open Media and like our page and come and join the conversation.
Thank you again for joining us. I know you're extremely busy, and I'll also message this to Justin Trudeau and the Liberals when I put it out tomorrow night. So thanks again, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Stuart, and reach out to us anytime. That was great. You have a good one.
Thanks for listening today, and I just want to point out before I leave that Latin Waves is coming up on its 10th year, and I just wanted to honor all the participating stations that make this program possible. All of those stations are linked right through on our website, latinwavesmedia.com, and I want to honor a couple of stations each week. This week, I'd like to honor The Scope at Ryerson in Toronto, and also our newest member, Black Sheep Radio in Bellows Falls, Vermont. So thanks to everyone, and please link through and have a listen to what they're playing. Bye for now. We've come to the end of our show, Latin Waves. Latin Waves is an internationally syndicated weekly program made available through campus and community stations and available out to the world at www.latinwavesmedia.com. Visit Latin Waves Media to hear previous shows, to access resources, or support our efforts towards social change via community project engagement. Thank you, and bye for now.